Guy is right there.
Mike, you're ready. Good afternoon, and I will call the Thursday, March 3rd meeting of the Senate Rules Committee to order. Welcome, members. And we have an agenda that we're going to take a little bit out of order because I do see that we have some very busy witnesses who want to talk about some of our bills that are up for public hearing. So why don't we start by opening a public hearing on HCR 10. And, Erin, could you tell us about HCR 10?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 10 recognizes the 2010 University of Oregon football team. It comes to you from the House with a 58-0-2 vote.
Okay, thank you for that. And looks like we've got three witnesses signed up. I see the Senate President.
Well, very well.
So, Senator Courtney, would you like to come forward? No, you're not here to testify on this bill. Okay.
And 58-2, Madam Chair, that was the Auburn score?
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, how about we'll have two witnesses, Courtney White and Dave Barrows. And if you'd like to come forward together, that would be great. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Rules Committee. And whoever would like to go first?
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. My name is Courtney White. I'm the Director of State Relations at the University of Oregon, and I am a Duck. And just want to thank the committee for hearing the bill today and for Senate President Peter Courtney sponsoring the bill. It truly was an exciting season on behalf of President LaRiviere, the coaching staff, and, of course, the players. I want to thank you for hearing the bill today and would appreciate you forwarding it on to the full Senate. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And hope to be back next year under similar circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Dave Barrows with the University of Oregon Foundation. And just echoing what Courtney said, I think it was an exciting year for Oregonians just generally. Ducks, Beavers, Bearcats for those of us that went across the street. It was an amazing year, and we appreciate very much the legislature considering honoring the team with this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for the panel?
Yes.
Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my son, for some reason, is a Ducks fan. I don't know. It's something he picked up at school. And so he's got Ducks hats, Ducks T-shirts, Ducks everything. Fine. So the Ducks are one of the most branded things we have in this state, and yet the both of you are up here, not a Duck lapel pin, not a Duck tie, not a Duck anything. And I just want to ask, what is your problem?
I have a lapel pin I raised from the car and forgot to put it on. I do have a yellow tie on, I will say.
And my only excuse, Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, is that I forgot to take it off the suit that I wore yesterday and put it on the sport coat today.
Easy enough.
A weak, wimpy excuse, I recognize.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see any more questions, so thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify on House Concurrent Resolution 10? Okay, I will close the public hearing on HCR 10, and I'll open a work session on HCR 10. And members, this has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, so it looks like it's good to go. You have a motion? Senator?
Madam Chair, I move HCR 10A go to the floor with a B adopted recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved HCR 10 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Senator Byer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And I see that the Senate chief sponsor is here, and Senator Courtney, would you be willing to carry this bill on the floor? I see that silence is assent in this case, so. so and rare. So we'll
The sponsor should carry the bill.
Okay, well, for the moment, we'll assign it to Senator Courtney, and we can always make a change before it appears on the floor if needed. Okay, I'll close the work session on HCR 10, and I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 440. And Erin, would you please tell us about Senate Bill 440?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 440 allows state boards and commissions to meet by telephone or other electronic means, clarifies members who participate by phone or other electronic means are not entitled to compensation or reimbursement, provides discretion to give per diem to non-elected members of boards and commissions, not employed in full-time public service who participate in official duties by telephone or electronic means, increases state board of pharmacy to 8 members, adds 1 licensed pharmacy tech, repeals Healthy Streams partnership, declares emergency is effective upon passage. There is a no revenue impact. We have not received a fiscal impact statement yet.
Okay, thank you for that explanation, and I see that we have one witness signed up to testify, and it is the Senate President. So, Senator Courtney, if you'd like to come forward. Okay. And I think this is the first time we've had the honor of having you appear in front of the Senate Rules Committee, so welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, member of the Senate Rules Committee, Vice Chair, Senator Ferrioli, and Senator Atkinson, Senator Beyer, Senator Burdick. My name is Peter Courtney. I live at 2925 Island View Drive, Northeast, here in Salem, 97303, and I'm a state senator, District 11. And I've come here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 440. I had remarkable testimony prepared, very funny, on the other measure about my relationship with a football coach and some very clever things. But I just, you know, I just lost it when I came in here. I just, it's just too bad. I chose not to give it, and so that's just the way I feel about it. But it was very hilarious. It's very clever. It's not your usual stuff. But Senate Bill 440 is a serious bill, in that it codifies current practices for the variety of individuals serving on boards and commissions. This bill was introduced in February session 2010. It was then Senate Bill 1014. It was then also in the Rules Committee. And it did come out of the Rules Committee. The work was done by Sasha Pollack, my office, who had been with me for years, and she went on to become the Chief of Staff for Lynn Peterson, who was the chair of the Clackamas County Commission, but has since, I think, just recently left to become the chief transportation person for the governor. And I think Sasha is on her way to Seattle. But anyway, she worked very hard doing all the research for this, and so we brought it in, and it was a pretty good piece of legislation. I thought it streamlined boards and commissions, and I'll talk specifically how. And we sent it out of the Senate on its way to House. They just basically rubber-stamped it, with the exception of a little amendment they added at the last second, and that amendment would cause it to be vetoed by the governor after we left the session. And the amendment simply added, they told the governor should appoint 2 school district employees to the State Board of Higher Education. Governor Kulongoski did not like that. He vetoed it, and that measure went by the boards. So I brought the bill back in its original form when it was considered a rather nice piece of legislation. It makes it clear that it's permissible for people appointed to boards and commissions to call in to meetings by phone. And I believe there is someone, I'm joined by Dana Richardson in my office, who some of you know, or perhaps all of you know, in several capacities. And it's my understanding from her research, she's here to speak for herself, but since I never know when she's going to speak, I understand that there is a total of about 220 boards and commissions this would apply to, because I'm anticipating a question from a certain member of this committee, because he did it last time he had a shot. So I'm trying to get ahead of that question. So it applies to 220 boards and commissions in the great state of Oregon, my Oregon, that you could call in, basically, by phone, and participate in meetings. And we have so many of these boards and commissions and so many volunteers out there who have so many different lifestyles and so many different needs who live all over the state of Oregon that it might be inconvenient or hard on them to be able to give the voluntary service that they need to give should they not be allowed to call in by phone and leave their private sector and or their families or their loved ones or where they're from. And then it also updates per diem statutes to reflect the current practice. And I understand this applies to 15 or 16 boards and commissions. And all it does is whatever we told them to do, because we do this in terms of the per diem through statutes they're supposed to do, in terms of these agencies had questions on how to do it. And the final thing, it removes statutes for three commissions that are no longer functioning. So that's basically what this piece of legislation 440 does. And should you have any questions, the person who will answer them is Dana Richardson, because she has the expertise, as well as there are other officials here that are coming. Is Dana sent somebody?
For the record, Dana Richardson, Senate President's Legislative Director. My understanding is DAS, and no others have signed up to testify, and DAS is not coming today.
Anyway, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. That is the measure. Straightforward. He did it once before, but then it got a little way, trouble the way it was vetoed, and so we'll see what happens. The bill speaks pretty, it's pretty much what it looks like on its face.
Thank you, Senator Courtney, for your testimony. And Senator Beyer, I believe, has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate President Dana, the per diem piece, I notice it says allows members to who are not employed full-time to receive per diem, which I think is a good idea. But it's, pulling from memory, it seems like we've passed a lot of statutes, the legislature has over the years, that created a board or a task force or something like that and then specified that they couldn't get per diem. Does this change that?
Shall I answer, Mr. President? Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, no, it clarifies for there are 15 boards. It was unclear whether or not they should or shouldn't get per diem. But if there are statutes that specify otherwise on a, for a specific task force that they don't, this doesn't change that. That's my understanding.
Okay.
And I'm actually a little confused. I don't know if the staff has an answer for this, because it looks like in Section 1 of the bill there's language that says, notwithstanding another statute, that a member of a board or commission who attends through telephone or electronic means is not entitled to compensation or reimbursement for expenses, which would sound to me like, I don't know what the other statute says, but it sounds like this is saying you wouldn't receive compensation if your participation was by telephone. We aren't going to work this bill today because we don't have a fiscal back yet on it anyway, but
Madam Chair, we'll get some clarity on that for the members and determine the answer. Not a problem.
Okay. And Senator Farioli, did you have a
I do just a request for staff, if I may, please, Madam Chair. I think this is a necessary clarification, because if there's an ambiguity, what that does is just send folks scurrying to fiscal or the president's office or wherever to find out, you know, whether these are in fact covered by one statute or another. Mm-hmm. Could we in the SMS have a list of the 15 agencies or commissions that are directly affected? First, just for clarity, and secondly, because members who serve on any of those committees will be put on notice that they have a conflict of interest, whether or not they are covered by the statute that would prohibit them from receiving per diems, or whether they are on the commissions or boards, which would therefore, with passage of this bill, be eligible for reimbursement of their expenses. So either way, they would still have to announce before voting. So if we could have a list of the 15.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Atkinson.
To Aaron, can we have a definition of what is full-time public service? Because during the interim, I wouldn't think that we are full-time public servants by definition of the law, but it sure feels full-time public service to offices that have, you know, a very active constituent load. Mike, and Mike, secondly, to Dana, this doesn't apply to the legislature.
Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, in some legislators, the per diem that they would receive or not receive would vary from board to board, and in some instances, legislators are included in the changed language.
Are they considered full-time?
What the bill does is reflect current practice. So for these 15 boards, there's 16 listed, 15 it's not dealing with a per diem, it's dealing with another issue. For those boards, it was unclear in statute, do they or don't they? So this was drafted to codify whatever that board or task force or commission was doing.
Thank you. Just a comment, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we do here that is, I remember this bill from last time, and I support it, but we are actually doing a double standard here to the legislature. And that is, we're allowing people to meet by telephone and all that, which is what sometimes people that don't live in the Salem area call in for meetings. But the people who call in and still do the time, invest, you know, to the meeting and do the work of the meeting and everything, do not receive per diem for that time, unless they physically drive or do whatever to go to Salem. And I've always found that to be a practice that is broken, but yet we still do it here. And I know that's not what this fixes, but I hope someday we would do that.
Madam Chair, if I may, and this is to return to Senator Byers' question with regard, the what is saying there in Section 1 is that if you don't travel, you don't receive per diem. It's not saying if you do travel, you don't receive per diem. So hopefully that provides some clarity, but I'm happy to work with staff to make sure that that's clear.
Senator Byers.
Madam Chair, Dana, I was more interested in if you do travel, those members, I think if the state is asking citizens to give of their time to come and participate, if they have to travel great distances, that we ought to provide them per diem. There's an overnight.
Would you like me to respond? Madam Chair and Senator Beyer, throughout the statutes, there's a variety of practices for each task force, and it's really dependent on how the statute was drafted in each case.
Yeah, and I was, if I may.
Yes, follow on.
I think that's always bothered me, and I'm not going to hang up the bill on it, but it's always bothered me that we have some groups where it's allowed and some groups where it's not allowed. I think it's just a matter if we're asking citizens to give of their time and they're going to have to travel and incur a lot of expenses to do it, that we ought to, the least we could do is cover those time, but we may not be able to do it in this budget time.
So we'll certainly clear up any ambiguity about what the bill does. My reading of the bill is it doesn't change anything in terms of people's ability to get per diem if they are traveling. It only deals with the participation by other means.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farrielli.
Really take this carbon sequestration and carbon limiting strategy seriously, perhaps we ought to pay people to stay at home and use the phone. That would be one concept for the future. Mm-hmm. And expanding that just a little bit, maybe we could pay legislators to stay out of Salem. That'd really be good. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Well, yeah, there are all sorts of interesting possibilities here. Mm-hmm. So we will discuss this further. We aren't ready to work the bill today.
I just want to make one quick clarification as regards to provides discretion to give per diem to non-elected members who stay at home. It's my understanding that in discussions in 2010, there are some boards who have volunteer service who still have to give up a full portion of their day, and so they wanted, and their practice was to allow them to still collect per diem for those non-elected volunteers because it still was a full 8-hour day that they were dedicating to service on this board. And so some boards had that practice and wanted to continue that, so that's why that is in there, and it does create a little confusion because, again, it adds to the inconsistency, but that was the purpose of that.
Okay, thanks for that clarification.
And Madam Chair, I'm not mistaken, this is a question for the President or his staff. We do have a master list of those boards and commissions where per diem and other reimbursements are allowed and which are not. And perhaps just for the edification of members of the commission, their committee here, and just to help put it out there, maybe we could bring that information to the committee.
Yeah, I'm sure the staff will be happy
I know, I've seen a published
make that
list
information available.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
that would be helpful.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. President, for your testimony. And is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify on Senate Bill 440? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. I'll close the public hearing on SB 440. Members, as I said, the bill will come back before us for a work session, but not today. And we have one bill remaining, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 273. And Erin, would you like to remind us about this bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 273 reduces the maximum penalty from $5,000 to $1,000 for failure to file ethics statements in a timely manner. This bill was originally heard on the 24th of February. We do have a Dash 1 amendment. It clarifies that this change in the maximum penalty applies to both public officials and to lobbyists who fail to file in a timely manner. That was the intent of the original measure. We've made that correction to clarify that it does, in fact, apply to both. There was a no revenue impact statement on the Dash 1 amendment. There is a fiscal impact statement on the Dash 1 amendment. And what the statement says is that there's a potential loss of general fund revenue of about $8,817 per year based on the average filings and fines issued between 2008 and 2010. So, and that's for you.
Okay, and my understanding, this was the way the testimony was presented on the original bill. Mm-hmm. I think that the drafting just didn't capture what was intended.
Correct.
So that's
correct.
Why the Dash 1 amendment mm-hmm. Came to be. Okay, and members, we are in work session.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair Farrioli.
First, that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 273.
Senator Farrioli has moved the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 273. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay. Seeing none, amendment is adopted. And Vice Chair Farrioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 273 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farrioli moves Senate Bill 273 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Mike, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Senator Byer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farrioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Farrioli, would you be interested in carrying this bill
on the
floor?
I will if you wish, ma'am.
That would be great. Okay, Senator Farrioli will carry the bill on the floor. And I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 273. And I believe that concludes our agenda for today. So, members, with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned. Thank you.